this week is Positive Aging Week. And like all other stages of life, getting older brings its own unique positives and negatives. And one of the adjustments people will face is retirement. And I'm joined by clinical psychologist Dr. Eddie Murphy, whom you know well, joins me in studio with advice on how to navigate this. Like people think happy days, carefree, leisurely, like some people play golf, some people don't play golf, whatever. But you, I think, take the view that we have to be prepared. So, Dr. Eddie Murphy, clinical psychologist, adjunct associate professor, UCD School of Psychology. Do you think these special weeks are a pain in the neck?
Sometimes, because particularly I think we're moving into Mental Health Week, and I often think that Mental Health Week should be about every week and every day of our life. And
yeah.
Similarly, you know, but it brings a focus as well. And I suppose today we're talking about retirement. I heard you talk about Holland there now, and that's all about change. And retirement is a period of change in our life and transition. And regardless of when we have transitions in our life, because fundamentally life is about change. And if we want things to remain the same, that's quite often when we see people in our therapy rooms to get stuck because they want things to change and they're not changing.
Right.
And with retirement, it's a time of change. And I think it's something that we could need to think about in a way proactively in, so that we're preparing for this time of letting go in our life.
Is it letting go or taking on?
It can be both. You're letting go of something,
yeah,
in terms of maybe organised work, the structure, the times that you're getting up in the morning. You know, your day is laid out, your activities are laid out. So your time, maybe when the agenda is set by others, to the time that the agenda is now going to be set by yourself. And that's exciting, isn't it?
Well, it can be, or it can be a disaster, because structure can be very beneficial.
Structure. So I know when we do work with children, we talk about rules, roles and routines, and really having structure can be very, very important. So there are different type of retirees. Some people like to maybe continue with their activities, you know, towards their existing skills and interests. Some people are adventurers and they want to try new things. Some people are searchers and they've got trial and error. So what type of retiree are you? Others are retreaters and they just want to step back. And that's okay if their retreating is something that they do for themselves, but not if they're going to retreat in the context of being isolated.
Or vegetating,
yeah. Because what we know is, one of the interesting areas I've done some work in is I'm on the National Loneliness Task Force. And people who experience loneliness actually die 3 years sooner. Some of the evidence is showing us this now, because of the nature of stress of loneliness. When we're hungry, we get our body signal to eat. When we're thirsty, we get our body signal to drink. And when we're lonely, that's our single signal for human connection. So human connection is really important.
You could easily slip out of it.
Easily slip out of that, Marion. Indeed. So if the status of retirement is so important for you in terms of your work and your identity, and then you're moving into retirement, sometimes we need to, in preparation for retirement, we may need to particularly up our level of social connectedness if we find that our connections are all through the workspace.
Right. The other thing is about people that they kind of, their identity comes through work. Like, I'm a teacher, I'm a postman or a woman, I'm a doctor. I've heard two very senior guys, one in oncology and one in ophthalmics, had to retire at 65, top of their game. They didn't want to retire.
Yeah, and really, in a way, like this forced retirement.
All that experience.
So forced retirement, I don't think is it's very interesting. Like, we talk about the different ages and stages in our life. In our first act of our life, or first stage, 0 to 25, or sort of growing up, figuring out the world, taking risks. Our second phase is that whole area of maybe getting into employment, family formation, setting up house. But the real interesting thing now, because of the quality of our, like, if you're 60 now, you have a 50% chance of living till 90 years of age. Okay? So the third part of your life is quite often as long as the time of life in work. So it's about having a good quality of part of that life. And the whole area of having your status, your finance, your identity.
Well, I presume money matters.
Money matters. So what we're talking about today, obviously I'm a psychologist, so I'm talking about being psychologically prepared for retirement. But financially, that's critically important. That, and people will often do that. They'll do the first bit of, they'll explore, are they financially ready to retire? But the question I suppose I'm asking today is, are you psychologically ready to retire as well?
I not for the first time. I met somebody recently who was retiring and his wife didn't want him home under her feet, as she put it.
So there's a renegotiation, isn't it, in terms of roles? So somebody that's out and work all day and suddenly levels of power in that work environment and suddenly coming home and reasserting the power in the home environment. So fundamentally, isn't it, it's really about change and negotiation and finding what we do know. Some really interesting research that newly retired women tend to be more depressed than
really?
Continuously retired or not yet retired women, especially if their husbands remain employed. And what we also know is that newly retired men experience more marital conflict than non-retired men. So it's really...
Why?
So because of coming in, so newly retired coming in the context of marital relationship, and they haven't prepared for this, and then there's a renegotiation in the home environment. Just as your friend is saying to you, he's coming home, I want to keep him out the door, not come in.
That's right.
I'm the boss in this place, and you know, they're the roles.
Well, it's not even that. This has been my space.
Well, they're the roles.
Around the household, around the children, all that kind of
so
thing.
So they're the roles people negotiated in their life, and really it's about how do we renegotiate that. Those new spaces and new roles in our life.
Right. What should people consider doing? I mean, it's all very well saying consider further education. They might be saying, oh, listen, I'm no more going back to school. And then you might have somebody else who would thrive on it. So how do you figure out what are the range of things that you might consider?
Well, I think a couple of things, Marianne. Now, first of all, I think in terms for anybody, I think in modern psychology, we're really interested in when people are well, what keeps people well. And the whole area of Martin Seligman and positive psychology looks at a life of pleasure, meaning and engagement. So I'd say now, for example, if I came around and gave a 99 cone, if I had the capacity to deliver a cone to all your listeners this morning with sprinkles and flakes, they'll probably love that cone. And then if I give them a second cone immediately after that, say, oh, no, I'm not really into that. So pleasure is short lasting. But meaning and engagement is what acts as a dynamo to our wellness. So if we can find purpose, meaning and engagement. And sometimes if you think about it, I'm thinking about when I think about retirement, we're in the process of doing. But in retirement, it's about being. How can we be and not do as much? So structuring our day, some very practical things that people can do. I was speaking at in Kildare Aging Well Week with Kildare Sports Partnership over the last number of weeks ago.
Yeah.
And I'm talking to 300 different retirees. And we're talking about structuring your day is quite important. Having a concrete, setting a good waking up time is actually helpful. Your wake up time is the determinant of your sleep and the quality of your sleep. So having small goals, growing your friendships to reduce isolation. For some people, it could be part-time work. So like if work has meaning for somebody, and it's okay, if you want to continue on, you might continue on the work that you're doing, but you might reduce it. In fact, in advance of the real hard cut-off 65-year retirement, which I think is a really crazy policy at this day and age, I think people should, if they can, maybe reduce their work to 3 days in the year out before they retire. So it's a gradual tapering down. Volunteering. And one of the things I'd like to maybe add there is technology. Quite often I'd see a divide. There's some really good tools and resources in the tech that people can go online and look, you know, research in libraries or whatever, do things that, with technology. And if you're not used to technology, there's a technological divide.
There is too.
There is, yeah. And
And how do you overcome that?
Well, there's some really interesting, like, transition year students in lots of schools around the place offer, like, coaching, basically, like, to help people to say, listen, I'll show you how to use a smartphone, I'll show you how to use a tablet and stuff like that. I know my own mum, like, a number of years ago, she got a tablet and now she looks at her local news down in Waterford or there's different, I would say, connect into some of that technology. Don't just step away from it because
it can be very intimidating. I was listening to somebody on the radio the other day. She'd been collecting her grandchildren and she didn't know how to book a seat on a train online because she didn't have broadband.
And we're moving in this space that technology is going to increase. And if you step out from technology, so I just say embrace it. The network of local libraries is incredible right throughout the country. There's some really good resources there. People will assist people, adult education through the education and training boards. But really it's about preparation for retirement. It's not about there's a loss, and with a loss comes stress. So for some people it can be anxiety and depression, but also there's an opportunity as well.
Right. Golf.
For some, yeah, golf can be important, you know. For others, golf can be a 4 hours of a waste. So it depends what your passion is.
Yeah.
Some people have passions around gardening. So I often when I'm talking, I passions are really important. But not everybody has passions.
Yeah.
And if you have a passion, I'd say great. But if you haven't got a passion, then sample the menu and see what could be. Or don't figure out, I haven't figured it out now. And there's other stuff like travel, walking groups, active retirement groups. You know, figure out what, there's something out there, I believe, for everybody that could be. If you're a person who goes on a sun holiday and you lie down on the beach and you're able to relax, or if you're the person that's walking around looking at all the trinket shops, well, if you're walking around, you're what's called an active relaxer. So there's no point in bringing an active relaxer into a very passive activity.
Right.
So if you're an active relaxer, figure out then something that's active for you. And if you're a passive relaxer, then you're fine. You can do the relaxation stuff.
And just since you mentioned active, I presume activity in the sense of physical activity.
Movement is the best medicine. Like I was a nurse, a general nurse, before I was a clinical psychologist, and I worked for 10 years in it, and I would have nursed a lot of people. I worked over in the UK, and physical activity and movement, and obviously an operation transformation, you know, where people got weight gain, and we're putting a call out there, we're looking for people to apply for this year's program. But physical activity is, movement is the best medicine. There's just no doubt about it.
As you interview people in this context, that context, the other kind of thing, it seems to me that for every ailment in the world that I've ever interviewed anybody, they came back to movement.
Movement. And even just take that, for example, in the population of Limerick City, 12% of Limerick City are on antidepressant medication. 12% of the whole city based on the GMS cards. That's not people who are getting antidepressants through private scripts. Now, the evidence base for National Institute of Mental Health for four sessions of 40 minutes a week is the equivalent of medication for mild to moderate depression. That's really powerful, isn't it? Four sessions of 40 minutes a week of physical activity is equivalent of medication, antidepressant medication, for mild to moderate depression, not severe depression. That's really powerful. So movement is key in terms of what we do know after the transition. There's a level of freeness in the first period of time, and then there's a level of adjustment. But after about 18 months, people then have settled into their retirement. So be patient and allow yourself to experience that change.
Right.
But also do plan.
40 minutes a week.
For all the time. So 40 minutes a week, four sessions of 40 minutes a week of physical exercise.
Yeah.
So we're looking at a thing now, it's called social prescribing, where people come in and instead of being prescribed medication or so, we're encouraging healthcare professional GPs to prescribe other things. Like people around connectedness and relationships. Going back to the library system in Ireland, in Healthy Ireland, in the libraries, there's a list of books that are approved where people can go and talk, look up around the whole depression or parenting or family life.
Yeah.
And they, they're accredited books and approved books through the library system. So they're free and available, publicly available. So what we're looking at is, not all times, we need to move away from a medication-based culture, you know, and medications have their role.
Yeah.
But also, like, movement, connectedness, relationship with others, setting boundaries. That's another day's conversation. How about that?
Okay. Eddie Murphy, clinical psychologist and adjunct associate professor, UCD School of Psychology. Thank you very, very much indeed for that. And we'll take a break.